You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. Hey, Patience, what are you doing here?
Oh, I'm just hanging out, drinking some beer.
Yeah, okay, well, what do you got there?
I have this delicious Bud Light. Why are you looking at me like that?
You're drinking a fucking Bud Light?
Well, yeah, I mean...
Have you been to the bar? You see there's other beers there? Okay, do you see what I'm drinking?
Well, yeah, you're drinking, what is that, a little yellow pill?
Yeah, it's an Oscar Blues beer. They're a local Austin brewery. Well, they have two in Denver and they have one in North Carolina, but they're really good. Look, you know what? I know that you've been sold by the man to think that maybe these Budweiser, they're all American or something, but nothing's more American than a craft brewery like Oscar Blues Brewery, right? You know what? Here, I'm just gonna throw that over there.
Okay.
There you go. Now drink this. Mama's little yellow pills.
Fine. Oh, that's actually doesn't taste like piss water. It's really, really good.
Exactly. It's for people who don't want to drink piss water, who want light and refreshing without piss water.
You changed my life, Chris.
You're so welcome. So there's this point about the beginning of the third act of this movie. I turn to Patience, I go, oh my God, this is just a really bad remake of The Crow, only without supernatural shit in it. Like, pretty much to the point where from that point on, it kept doing stuff from The Crow, except bad.
It's shitty Crow, it's shitty Punisher, it's shitty...
It's
shitty.
It's just shitty.
I think it's supernatural if she can be a banker in a lower middle class family and then over 5 years turn into Jason fucking Bourne somehow. Yeah. Jason Bourne, you don't get to see any of the action, but it's there, believe us.
I suspect more than 5 years is required, even for Bruce Wayne. But
if I may, Woman on Fire, Not Without My Daughter's Body, or Joan Wick. Could have been
Joan Wick.
Castle.
Quite yeah. Good.
This Ultimate is Peppermint, and reviewing it is me, Chris Cox.
Patience.
JC.
Ben.
Miguel.
Yeah, this is one of those movies that has the lately ever dreaded H Brothers production logo in front of it.
Bum, bum,
which
bum.
Largely says, oh, this is one of those movies not really made for American audiences, is it?
Yeah, I noticed it before the movie, and I told Patience, and then Chris and Martin overheard as he goes, wait, what? Oh, it's produced by the Chinese. Is it? Oh, shit.
Yeah, directed by Pierre Morel, who certainly has proven in the past that he's capable of doing a decent action movie. He directed the first Taken, which is quite good.
Which is good.
And also From Paris with Love, which is not good. But this is one of those action films that is going after the sort of like no-nonsense killer thing, you know, the John Wicky or Takenism of like sort of like, I ain't fucking around. I'm just shooting motherfuckers in the head.
Did you say she's a death wish?
Not even the head, in the eyeball.
Yeah, in the eyeball. The story here follows Jennifer Garner. She's, when we meet her, she's like, you know, a kind of fucked up badass, but then it's like 5 years earlier. And she's just a soccer mom. She's like, got a cute, adorable little girl, a little tyke, just all smiles and happiness, and a husband who seems sweet, but like doesn't have as good a job as her. And, you know, we see the husband has got like a boss who's kind of like trying to get him in on some sort of a legal job. And then he's like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to do it. But that doesn't stop said evil, very Latino mob.
Very Latino Freddie Mercury.
Yeah, who catches the boss in the act, but apparently somehow knows they had a in-person conversation that never paid off to him being involved at all, and do a drive-by after the family's out for a family, the daughter's birthday out at the local carnival, and kills the husband and daughter and leaves Jennifer Garner for dead. So once again, 5 years later, she's back. She's for revenge. Somehow in ways that are never explained, she's turned into uber badass.
I know. The only thing they say is she learned MMA in like Thailand.
I was gonna say, they show one scene of her fighting MMA and it's like, she went underground. Also, they say she went underground by knowing how to rob $50,000 from their bank that she worked at and disappearing. No, she doesn't seem like she knows anything about her bank because she's like the bottom tier person told, you're closing tonight, fuck you, you're closing.
So her goal now is to basically kill everyone who was even mildly involved with the death of her family, which is pretty much all this movie has to offer. And that could be cool, right? Could be. I've seen movies like that that are cool over people killing people over less things than that, say their dog. But they were filmed by,
yeah, but that's more justified.
But they were filmed with more of a sense of style and originality. Yeah. Because I watched this, and honestly, this like was sitting at the top of the '90s action movie cliche tree and hit every single fucking big ugly branch on the way down.
I feel so bad because we're at Alamo, and of course, no one wants to be a douchebag at Alamo, unlike the people behind us. and I just kept going to Chris. I'm like, just saying words to him, and that were like ice pick.
You know, yeah, prominently focused flash on the ice pick. She's like, ice pick.
There's even stuff like there's a fight scene in a pinata factory, which I swear is such the Spanish language version of a Papa Roach song. Like, Jesus Christ.
I just want to say that, like, I'm a little offended by the stereotypes of the Hispanic population in this movie. I mean, they hit every single stereotype. I mean, they do the lineups and on, of course, the only guys that are the bad guys have like the face tattoos.
Yeah,
and
then
they meet the cartel boss, and it's like the Tejanos with the big belt buckles. And then
somebody saw Breaking Bad, and they're like,
wrong things away.
That's the point that I want to make the most about this movie is that whoever wrote this movie saw all of these really like classic action films that, and then just put them all, smushed them all together and made like whatever this is supposed to be.
Yeah,
like,
this movie was pieced together from Donald Trump's
exactly.
Oh, the same guy who wrote London Has Fallen. For the
that says so much.
All right, but listen, I actually kind of liked London Has Fallen.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It has moments in its campiness, but it's the most jingoistic movie not set in the United States I've ever fucking seen.
You know, the main thing I was taking away as much, like, first off, like, I'm like, this whole thing is about how the police force is incompetent and gangs are taking over and the system is breaking down and the whole judicial system in America is broken and corrupt. And I'm like, and made by a Chinese production company.
Yeah.
But then adding on top of it a fear of Mexicans, I'm just like, this feels kind of like the Russian hacking attacks just coming from a different communist country.
It was so heavy-handed.
Yeah, it was easy for the Chinese to make this movie, though, because they don't have to fear the repercussions of... Because Mexicans won't go to China.
That's true. They got no reason to go to China.
This is like the alt-right or like a suburban white mom's like wet dream. You know, like, I don't have pearls, but I was definitely clutching
them. There was at least two of them shouting and clapping during this movie.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I like to see a badass, like, female, like, action star as much as the next person. And I love movies that do that sort of, like, revenge thing. In fact, there's a really great horror movie that just came out on Blu-ray called Revenge. Yeah. That definitely is genuinely feminist and smart and really stylish and original
not
and cool.
Racist.
Yeah. This is just treading on that cliche, which is overplayed in a bad way lately, of that, oh, look at this badass, like, chick. And just, like I said, just there's just not a cliche along the way that they miss. They hit every single one, and there's no sense of, like, any feeling for, like background for these people at all. Like, we don't know who anyone is. Even the cop characters here, which they try and, like, mislead you a little bit at first. Yeah, they try and mislead you a little bit at first. Like, who's the good cop? Who's the bad cop? With John Gallagher Jr. being the more probably prominent one, and then who's also relatively one of those familiar face actors. And then John Ortiz, who you've also seen in about a billion fucking things, including Fast and the Furious 6.
Right.
Like, you're like, oh, which one is the bad one? Because you know one of them is, if not both of them.
And then, for no reason whatsoever, with no explanation, Method Man shows up. And you're just like, where the fuck did
he
come from?
Is that who that was? Because people started clapping, and the guy's in one scene. And everyone's like, woo!
Like, where the fuck did Method Man come into this movie? And it's like, when I saw it, like, I was like, was that Method Man? And I was in the room, in the theater for the credits a bit longer than you guys, finishing up my tab. But it was like, Oh, it was Method Man. What the fuck was that for?
It was very methodical.
That was actually the most racist thing in the movie. I wasn't that offended by any of the Latino stereotypes, but giving the black guy, the famous black guy, only one scene, that was kind of fucked up.
Yeah, man, there's not a bunch of strong African-American characters in this film, or, say, almost any at all.
Were there African-American characters?
Yeah, I think he was the only one.
Which also, there's an FBI lady in this movie who feels like they're just like, oh, the FBI has to be part of this somehow, right? We need to make this feel like it's a really big, important crime happening here. So the FBI has to show up somehow. There's no clear reason why, you know, the FBI would be after her. It's like, she took some money from a bank, okay, and she disappeared.
And we've been tracking her for 5 years, and she's in our, and you're just like,
we tracked her in London, and then in Singapore, it's like, the FBI doesn't really do overseas stuff. That's the CIA.
There are hints of stuff here
Interpol.
That clearly were like taken from much better 80s and 90s films, but nothing is done to make them have any reason to be in the film. Like I said, I prominently mentioned The Crow.
Together.
There's a lot of stuff from The Crow in here for sure, including that just sense of like, this is a suicide mission, you know, which, you know, I'm already dead sort of thing. But there's also stuff like, I sensed a little bit of Turk 182 in here. Do you remember that one, JC?
Yeah.
Where I just like the idea, like there's some sort of like, there's like a street level support of this thing. Like, oh, they keep going, she's the angel of what used to be the worst district there. Notice how the crime rate's been so low here lately? I was like, yeah, we never see any of those scenes.
Well, they painted a mural for her.
Yeah, they painted a mural for her.
There was a lot of... Yeah, they kind of painted themselves into a corner because they were throwing too many things at the wall, and instead of trying to see what stuck, they let it all stick. Because there was a lot of really good ideas in here. Like, we mentioned a lot of movies that this compares to. I kind of... think of it as a mashup between Death Sentence with Kevin Bacon and Law Abiding Citizen.
Both of which I think are much better films.
Right. And Law Abiding Citizen is a movie I really like. And I think interesting about that movie is that it kind of goes into, it does the 5 year later thing. And all of a sudden you don't know how he's getting away with killing these people, but he is. And the explanation of it makes sense in this one. And I think part of the reason why we all miss the exposition is because all the exposition is in one scene and our focus is kind of elsewhere because it was maybe going to be a fight in the theater.
Yeah, between Corey Coleman and the guy on his phone.
Corey Coleman putting up the better street justice in this whole movie.
Oh my God.
And so like rather than letting all that action play out organically and in a smart way, they just piece together one scene where it's like, well, here's everything you need to know about his character in 3 minutes and then let's get on with the movie.
Yeah.
Even though we had a flashback that was so fucking long, I thought I was in Ghosts of Mars. I was like, the flashback was like half the fucking movie, and then I was like, oh, and then we still have to watch the rest of the movie.
My bigger issue is, we talked about this a bit about the writing, is it feels like somebody who once saw a bunch of 80s action movies and said, I can write those characters, and then wrote the loosest shell of them, took it to these Chinese producers, and they said, yeah, we can go with this. It's like, oh, I can punch them up. Don't worry about it. They don't need depth. They just need to be the easiest stereotype of hardworking parents, you know, cute as a button daughter who says those things that are so precocious, and then they get shot. It's tragic. Don't worry about it. It's good.
The one thing, in defense of this movie, I'll hand it to Pierre Morel, the director. He was genuinely trying at points to have a few moments that felt like they had that sort of like that Taken level of sort of like, oh, that's super badass. That like sort of like, there's a scene in like in the factory,
the pinata
factory where she like throws a guy up against the wall, falling with him against a rack, and then shoots him in the head. That's like, that was cool. There's a couple moments here and there, but they all are edited so poorly, not to give you any sense of oomph that Taken had, or John Wick, or any innumerable other movies lately that are doing that sort of like, yeah, this isn't a martial arts film. This is a badass with a gun film.
It was kind of weird. I mean, Jennifer Garner has experience with action. She had like 5 seasons of Alias and Elektra.
Which, but it's three been, of which were excellent.
Yeah, but it's been like 10 years since Elektra. Like, yeah. She hasn't done a movie like this in a long time.
Her arms look buff as fuck, though. Like, she looked really great.
Well, she's constantly fighting off Ben Affleck. Get
off. She went full Batman with her voice in that alcohol scene when, you know, she confronts the dad who's being mean to her daughter or son, whatever. Her voice gets deep, and she's like, I'll find you. I was like, oh, she went full Batman.
See, that was another scene where it's just like, that was their scene where they're like, oh, we can definitely show that she's really a good person. Don't worry about it. She does everything for good people. It's like, that scene felt so out of place. Like, cool, you're just trying to force us to like your character more. Actually show her doing things more. Like, it felt that so out of place, even though it would have, you know, they felt like, oh, Death Wish, and he'd do good things for people.
And there's weird stuff, like early on in the pre-badass period, she has an issue with another soccer mom who's like a rich cunt, and she's like, oh, no, we don't punch people in the face. And so there's a totally inexplicable, no reason for it at all sequence later on in the film where she re-encounters her and punches her in the face and fucks with her. You're like, why are you even there?
No, dude, foreshadowing.
There's no reason for her to be there.
This is so heavy-handed.
With everything else that she has prepared, like, she clearly has, like, a bunch, like, $50,000. She's like, she even pays the guy in the liquor store for his car and stuff like that. She clearly has money. She knows how to get things. And yet she never seems to have any idea what to do for medical things. It's like, you know, like literally even at the first scene after she kills a guy in the first scene and goes back to her murder van or whatever the fuck it is.
Yeah.
She has a medical grade staple gun, but she doesn't have gauze. She just has duct tape. And I'm like, how do you have something that I've never seen in the fucking wild, like a medical staple gun, but you don't have gauze?
In her defense, duct tape is actually pretty good for that.
No, it
works.
They
actually use that in the military.
It works, but I'm saying, if she can afford that fucking staple gun, she can afford actual gauze.
For field use, it's like duct tape is great.
It would have been much easier and like much smarter, and it would have taken the movie, maybe not miles further, but like to give her a back, like maybe, what if she was a registered nurse? Then that's believable. That makes sense. That's fine.
It would have made
no problem.
You put some thought into that, and they didn't.
Her name could have been Dr. Kersey or something. I don't know.
There's just too many things in here where I'm like, they didn't put any thought into it. But once again, I can't help but feel like this was more sort of like a Chinese movie, like crumbling at the corners of America, than it was anything that they wanted to make an actually good movie for.
And there was even, like you mentioned, Death Wish, the Death Wish remake that Bruce Willis was in. Like, there's a moment where
you saw that,
yeah.
We're sorry.
They talk about how social media is kind of backing her and stuff, and there's a moment at the end where it seems like the whole city, or at least all of Skid Row, is going to come to her defense and help her. And that
dude, that would have been great. They were building up to this thing that felt like it was going to be that big, sort of like, oh, she won't die because the whole city shows
and
up.
The dirty cop is going to get his due, and he kind of did.
It comes to nothing.
Spider-Man did it better. So.
And then
there was no Macy Gray scene.
The whole social media thing really bothered me, too, because, I mean, all of a sudden in the third act, social media becomes like a really prominent force, and you're just like, first of all, they sat there and explained the whole entire plot again to us a second time through a television crew.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, social media, they're like tweeting about her and no, we're behind her. And they were trying to do like this, I don't know, like natural born killers kind of a thing that just wasn't paying
devoid of style.
Yeah, but without any style or class. And then she like tweets to everybody and does like a live feed. And then you're just like, why? No, what was the whole purpose of that?
My favorite thing with that, though, is when she's actually attacking the house of Mexican Freddie Mercury, and she gets to him finally, and he's been watching the news of her this whole time, goes, who are you? What do you want? It's like, you've been watching the fucking news this whole movie. Everybody knows who she is. Her men told you who she was earlier.
There's innumerable dumb moments like that. But let's get a final thoughts. Miguel, get us started.
And that's Miguel's job.
Yeah. It's probably the stupidest movie I've seen this year. I don't know. 3 out of 10 pinatas.
Wow.
No extra details? Okay.
No, that's all you got. All just right. The sigh and the fuck you.
Ben?
Patience and me literally said at the end, like, debating if this was just the worst movie we've seen this year or the worst movie in recent years. It just, none of it actually works. Everything seems to fall through with any logic or any actual care put into it. As Chris said, there's some fight scenes where, like, it has one moment that's okay, and everything else is, like, quick
cut. And even
that,
just okay.
I mean, in one of the fight scenes, she somehow stops a whole row of bad guys by knocking a doorknob off, and they can't figure out a way around that.
Yeah, I'm like, windows. Then the door would still open pretty easily.
I'm pretty sure 3 dudes can fucking open up a door.
It's not like that thing where you shoot the electronic lock and the door won't open. It was a doorknob.
And I think they showed like there's another door in the room. So I'm like, the fuck is happening here? Anyway, there's even like subplots where they mention that he's pissed off the Korean mob now and that the actual cartel's mad at him. Those never come to anything other than one threat from the actual cartel. It's just like they've seen every other movie that's been okay in any segment of this genre and said, well, that's a trend that I got to put in, the cartel being mad. Oh, they went with another gang? That other gang's mad. Just, it's so slapdash in everything it does, and including caring. Honestly, I give this movie 1.5 bad Mexican stereotypes out of 10.
JC.
I mean, despite it sounding like I mostly agree with you guys, I'm
the sole defender.
I'm very easy to please when it comes to a movie like this. I mean, I thought the action was fine. As an action star by yourself, I thought Jennifer Garner did a really good job. And so, the Mexican stereotypes and all that, I mean, it can be problematic, but that's who killed her family, and she doesn't. I feel like the movie does kind of go a little bit out of its way to. I mean, there's a little bit of a spoiler here, but like the Mexican cop isn't in on it. He doesn't turn out to be dirty. All the people in Skid Row, there's a mix of white people, black people. I feel like if she would have encountered any other Latinos who weren't gangbangers, they probably would have been portrayed well.
By the way, am I wrong that did not everyone in Skid Row look like they were out of the cast of Demolition Man?
Yeah, exactly. Living underground. The
poor people in Demolition Man.
They're down there listening to you talk about cheeseburgers.
Being led
the whole
by
day.
Dennis Leary.
Yeah. We just live on Taco Bell in the future.
Yeah. But I do feel like, again, it would have done the movie a lot of favors if maybe the Korean mob would have been in on it and she would have gone after a little bit of the Korean mob. That probably would have helped the movie's cause a little bit, but then that also would have made it longer.
Mixed blessings.
God, no.
I don't think it could have been.
So, yeah, I mean, despite all that being said, it's nothing I'm going to die on a hill for. But, I mean, I didn't have too many problems with it overall. I'd give it 5 out of 10 humping reindeer.
Hmm. Patience.
Man, I this was one of those movies. I thought about walking out at the end. I really was just like, I can't. There's like 15 minutes left of this movie, and I just can't do it anymore because it was so predictable. I mean, they just laid on every single 80s, 90s action movie trope that they could find. I feel like they just, like, made little notes and put them in a jar.
Women
and then
in their underwear.
It was too much. Just like, hey, we're going to do, like, you know, those little poem magnets. That's what they did with the 80s action tropes. It was just, too much. There you go, Mad Libs. That's what it felt like. It felt like a giant Mad Lib. I do agree with JC a smidge, where some of the action shots were pretty cool. Like, there were some moments, like the one that you mentioned, that Chris mentioned, that I thought was like, hey, that was kind of a cool thing. Or she pushes, like, a safe on this other dude. Again, really? Are we in Looney Tunes land?
It did feel a little Looney Tunes landish, yeah.
Didn't she have the gun, like, the scene before that, too, and then it just disappeared?
I don't know.
I lost track at some point.
She's setting traps, and I don't know. Yeah,
ain't no equalizer.
That's for sure.
No.
No, not for me. And on a scale of 1 to Electra, I think this went full Electra.
Fair enough. Yeah, I will give this a few extra points, and we haven't even mentioned the fact Garner's not bad in this. I keep hearing from other people, oh, what weird casting. I'm like, Garner was an Alias for a while. She was a badass action star on television. If you never watched the first couple seasons of Alias, it's really, really good, right? I was always like, yeah, I buy her as an action star. I've never had a problem with that. But, like, she's not the problem here other than saying yes to this movie. I get it. Her star has kind of fallen.
She's doing credit card commercials, for fuck's sake.
Kick-ass chicks are big right now. And I like kick-ass chicks. This is just not the right movie. It was like, come on, guys. David Leitch, somebody, give Jennifer Garner a chance here. Because she is actually doing her damnedest to sell this. But the director and the editor and the writer are not. It's just thoroughly mediocre. I have seen better VOD movies with similar plots that had 50 Cent in them. And in a much bigger role than Method Man. This is just garbage. It's just thoughtless crap for people who, I guess, are to some degree nostalgic for the 80s and 90s films, but don't want anything clever about it. They just want to see more of the worst 80s and 90s type films. Maybe. I don't know. I just, for me, I thought this was really largely a waste of time that I know that this director, who also did, by the way, District 13, which is an excellently made action film.
I fucking love that movie.
I know he can do better than this, and that makes it that much more egregious that this is as poor as it really is. I would have, if it wasn't Pierre Morel directing this, I might have given it a slightly higher rating. But the fact that I know he's much better than this, I'm dropping this down to a 1.5. I can't think of anything because I fucked this movie's out of 10.
There you go.
I was going to go with Reindeer, but somebody took it. So I was like, yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah. Honestly, blah. The movie's plot would have been better if you just followed Mexican Freddie Mercury. I feel like the cartel side was like the more interesting story going on.
Yeah, we knew nothing about Mexican Freddie Mercury. He was just like, okay, so you're a guy we saw on Breaking Bad once, and other than that, I don't know anything about you.
I was mostly offended for a minute because I thought he was a white guy playing a Mexican guy.
I wouldn't have put it past this movie. The dude just put a Freddie Mercury mustache on a white dude. Like, that dude's Mexican.